Edward Snowden seemed to believe that this week is a turning point for security policy and civil liberties around the world. Writing from his two-year-long exile from Russia in an editorial piece for the New York Times, Snowden says he believes the world has spoken against NSA broad surveillance. The passage of the Freedom Act by the U.S. Congress is directly related to Snowden's actions in publishing classified documents about surveillance programs and tipping the world off to what the U.S. was doing. Mitch McConnell, Republican leader in the Senate and opponent of the Freedom Act, dripping with sarcasm, said it was a victory for Edward Snowden. But Democrats like Senator Ron Wyden and Jerry Nadler in the House agreed, but called Snowden a freedom fighter. John Cassidy, staff writer for The New Yorker, says this fight is over. It's high time to drop the charges against Snowden and bring him home.
I've always been on Snowden's side in this debate. I mean, I think this is a person who gave up a great deal to inform us what was going on, took a great risk to himself, and has now been languishing in Russia for 2 years. I think rather than leaving him languishing there, we should thank him and sort of enter some sort of plea bargain with him, which allows him to come home. I think the country does owe Snowden a lot for what he's done. And the political system in Washington is sort of congratulating itself for having passed this law. But, there's absolutely no way this law would have ever gone into effect if Snowden hadn't done what he did.
I was talking with someone who was contemplating whether it's possible that Snowden would be pardoned the other day. And someone who has a particular literary taste for all things spies and spooks said, no, the future of Snowden is that the U.S. will put him on the CIA payroll and make him a spy in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation that Snowden, I mean, some people have claimed that he's already cooperating with the Russians. Back in 2013, there were suggestions that he was showing the Chinese what he had during his stopover in Hong Kong. There's never been any evidence to suggest any of that. I mean, I think the idea of bringing him home and using some of his expertise to sort of inform policy is a good one. He's clearly a serious man who didn't enter this lightly. He seems to have sort of certain libertarian streaks. He thought a lot about this when he was working inside the system. So I think it would be a good idea if we could somehow use his expertise to inform future policy. But I think at the very least, even if we don't do that, we owe it to him to give him the opportunity to come home and carry on with his life.
So Snowden aside, the lesson from this seems to be that in the absence of Snowden, there is a huge government consensus about allowing the national security establishment to run like some kind of constitution-munching robot that basically has no concern for freedoms. And unless it's pointed out in the most, you know, billboard in the middle of Times Square way, no one's going to pay any attention.
Yeah, I think you're right there, John. I mean, I think people did have concerns within both parties on this. But the politically safe thing to do before Snowden came along was just to let the NSA get on with it. After 9/11 and all the way up to 2013, it took a brave politician to stand up to the national security establishment and say, you know, you've gone too far, because there was always the risk that there'd be another terrorist attack and you'd look like you were soft on terrorism. So the default position for politicians of both parties was basically to give the spooks and the Pentagon and the national security establishment what it wanted. What Snowden did is he changed the political calculus, because he came forward with all these revelations about how the government was basically sweeping up everybody's phone records and could look at your emails if they wanted to, with very, very little oversight. And ordinary Americans, a lot of them, I think, were outraged. They were perfectly willing to give the government some powers to monitor terrorists and suspect terrorists, but they didn't expect this to be happening. And suddenly it became safe, I think, for the politicians to change course a bit and say that, well, perhaps the NSA has gotten a bit far. We need to be protected, but there also need to be oversights. So I think that was Snowden's contribution, and I don't think anybody can take that away from him.
Well, let's talk about revelations from Snowden reported in The New York Times and ProPublica this week that without public notice or debate, the Obama administration has expanded the National Security Agency's ability to watch international internet traffic to search for malicious computer hacking, the kinds of code that would indicate that someone was trying to hack into a commercial or government computer system.
It's well known within the computer community and the intelligence community that the NSA can basically get into anything and can monitor anything. There's a saying among the hackers that there's nothing you can do that the NSA can't undo. So they have got the technology if they so wish to go into any computer system and more or less see what's happening there, including hacking. It's not surprising, I guess, that they would be monitoring hacking. I mean, some of these hackers have attacked systems run by the government. There's been a lot of stories of hackers out of Russia and China trying to undermine various government systems. So, I mean, you can make the argument that the NSA should be monitoring that. But again, I think, you know, it's just another example of how this stuff was all done without any much oversight and certainly any public knowledge, and how it should be, you know, disclosed more openly.
John Cassidy, staff writer for The New Yorker, thanks so much.
Thank you.